Hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network, episode 103. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. We've got a lot to discuss today, all across the spectrum for being an independent musician, with some amazingly priced, we always talk about wanting to see more and more of these cheaper analog clones and things like that, analog pedals, some strategies to grow your music aside from the algorithmic anxiety and decay of social media, and finally, some not so great news about websites and user data and AI training. So really, what does this mean for musicians? We'll talk about all that. My name is Sun Warper, and with me today are Eon Lake and Curtis. But Curtis, let's get right into it. What do we have today from Warm Audio? Oh, I think you might be muted.
It's because I took a cup of tea before the start here. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Hello, everybody. Hello to everybody in the chat. Welcome. Sorry if it's starting a little bit late. We've all been a bit chaotic with our schedules today. It's lovely to see everyone here. It's wonderful. Yes, we are starting with Warm Audio, who are Behringer. That's a way to go.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to say. Basically, yeah. If you've want to share the screen, Sun Warper, that I've put up there.
I actually can't at the moment because my mouse is charging. So
okay,
there you go.
Here we go. This guy is talking. We don't need to see this guy for now. We need to see what's going on up here. Yes, that's the one. We've got Warm Audio have done their own clone of the Moogafuga or Moogafuga. Sorry, I should say. I always get that mixed up in that. Now, the fun thing is that Behringer did a clone of this, or they announced a clone of this last year. However, they get to do anything. And then Warm Audio come out with this. And it's already shipping for $219. So yeah, and they say that it is that it's called the Ringer Bringer, and they say that it delivers a true to spec performance of the boutique analog original, which is really fun. It's a ring modulation pedal with LFO mod frequency and rate controls. It's got LED indicators to make it go through, CV inputs, quarter inch jack audio in and out. And also it runs off of a 9-volt battery, which is really, really cute. We love these little pieces of affordable gear. So yeah, this looks kind of dope. What do you think, Sun Warper?
I love it. I've never had those... any of those Moog pedals or any of the clones or anything like that. But I mean, I always hear them and they're awesome, but I am familiar with Warm Audio. We've covered a couple of their pedals when they started getting in the pedal game here on ADSM, but I actually have, I don't even know if you can see it, but that little orange thing under Master Chief into the, I guess the left on the screen, but right of me. That's a Tone Beast from Warm Audio. And I actually, they were at NAMM couple weeks or months ago, and I talked with them because mine has some issue where it stopped working. I mean, this thing is old, but they were like, oh, email us, we'll look into what's wrong and we'll fix it. They were really nice, good people. So I was excited to see this, and I mean, we always talk about we want to see more entering this low cost clone company or clone sphere. You know, we really see Behringer a lot, but we don't see much else, but the demand is there. And so those, when there's issues with Behringer, things like that, it's nice to see just competition is good. We want to see competition. So I like to see others entering this sphere. And it's good to see. I listened to some of the demos that they have from the SoundCloud. It sounds pretty cool. And it's out now. You can order it and actually get it. And for $219, that's not too bad of a price for a pedal, especially compared to some other pedals we see in the $400, $500 range. So I like seeing that. Eon Lake, what about you?
Yeah, like you were saying, there are a lot of pedals in the 400s and above bracket these days, and it's nice to see a few that aren't, quite frankly. Yeah. I think it does a fair bit to address the some of the criticism that I've heard about Behringer, and you know, from a vaporware point of view, you know, where they announce a product and then it comes to market years later, and people do get a little bit fed up waiting sometimes, it seems. It's kind of amusing to me that Warm Audio have pulled this off and got this out there, and it's a thing you can buy. I like the idea of having a few good quality pedals as part of a synthesizer setup. obviously I do have a bass guitar as well, so you know, it's, I might actually put something that's supposed to go through it through them. But I think for
I saw Steve's head out of the corner of Curtis's camera that he just did this epic jump. What a daredevil. Sorry, Jan, like, carry on.
He's not interested until we go on, is he? And then suddenly he's on the keyboard. He's on the back of the chair.
Yeah.
3 weeks, Steve.
Carry on, Jan, like, sorry. Just need to call attention.
It's good
to
have some, a couple of good quality pedals. I like, especially for reverb and delay. I think this one looks a little bit more fun than that. We like to see a bit of variety in the market, and we like to see manufacturers keeping each other honest, as it were. And I did actually listen to some of the sound demos of this, and ring modulation is not something I do a lot of, but I'm kind of tempted to do more of it, basically.
Have you ever done ring mod for drums? Because I used that in my last video. The vinyl I sampled did not have a hi-hat, so I took a snare sound, put the ring mod on the SP on it, and made it a hi-hat, and I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah
but there's a lot you can do with this, far more than that, but ring mod is cool. And then when you mess with the modulation time, like automate it with a plugin, you can get some really cool sounds. So it's nice to see in pedal form with that tactile response we always talk about. Curtis, what about you? What do you think about this?
Same. I'm very happy to see something relatively decent. It looks pretty well built, and something that's around the $200 mark, to make something very different, something that isn't just a standard pedal, isn't something that's just standard digitalness. All for it. Don't know why. I'm sure there's a decent reason for why Behringer have not brought theirs out. And I love the fact that a company that is, its philosophy or its basis is on undercutting another company to make its own living has been undercut by another company. I think that's wonderfully poetic.
There you go.
That's great. It's bringing more affordability, it's bringing more competition, it's bringing something more to the market which more people can afford. And down, no problems with it. I'd love to get my hands on one and get play around. If anyone watching, listening back over, invests in one, let us know what you think of it. Let us know what you found uses for. More and more, we're seeing pedals on the tabletop. You can't really see it here, but we're seeing pedals on the tabletop, synthesizers going through as opposed to the traditional additional guitars. Yes, play table, Eon Lake, very much so. There's much more going on with these things. So it's great to see these being more accessible, because no longer are we limited to just guitars and the traditional ways of playing live. Very happy about that.
Yeah, really cool. And I just wanted to go over, I think the two pedals we covered previously were the Centavo and the ODD box, but I've just Googled to see they have a ton of pedals right now, and it looks like they're all between about 150 to 200, and then this one is 220 for the new one, the Ringer Bringer. So that, I know that's expensive. I mean, 100, 200, that's a lot, but in, I don't know if you want to say boutique pedals or all that, but in the pedal sphere right now, I mean, that's a pretty good price for what it's coming with and all that. And they were all out at NAMM. I got to check them out. They seem to be of really good build quality and things like that.
That's the many.
I wonder if they're going to bring more of those Moog clones, because I think there's a few other Moog pedals, right?
Yeah. Potentially ones that are maybe more useful. I mean, you can make some crazy sounds with a ring modulator, but it may not be your go-to. It might not be the first pedal you buy. It's maybe more like the third or fourth.
Yeah, I know. And they have a lot of other pedals too, so not these Moog clones, but yeah, it's not like their first pedal out the gate is
I wonder
a ring
if the,
mod.
The delay one might have been a better, launch product, but what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know what the... Isn't the Moger Foger or Mooger Fugu, like the really classic, like the one that a lot of people go for from Moog, right? Maybe that's why, if that's the one that's most sought after. I don't remember, but yeah. Gentlemen, anything else you want to add to this before we move on?
Yeah, keep it up, warm audio.
Yeah, definitely that.
Bring them, keep them coming. Definitely.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely. Let's see the other ones. Yeah, very cool stuff from Warm. Before we move to the next topic, I just want to say hello to everybody in the chat. Sorry, we were running a bit late. It's been a mental morning for all of us, so we wanted to get right into the news and all that, but we've got Pat in the chat. How's it going, Pat? Hey, Smiling Errors says, just spent the last few hours making samples. Nice. What have you been using to make the samples, and what were you sampling on? Always love to hear people doing sample stuff. That's a lot of fun. We've got FCC. FCC, how's it going? We've got an episode and an EP coming out with FCC. I think the EP comes out next week, and the interview with him talking about making Boards of Canada style sounds and things like that in a DAW is coming in 2 weeks on this. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be cool. His sound design always blows me away. So I'm looking forward to that. Abby is in the chat. What's going on, Abby? Smiling Air says, Behringer has been doing its damnedest to slowly ruin its reputation. Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, just by those announcements too, but they've been doing a lot of things. And I mean, there's a lot of controversy with Behringer that we don't need to get into, but that's what, it's just nice to see competition coming in these parts. It's always good to see that. Bendu is in the chat. Good morning. Good morning, Bendu. Yeah, same time zone as I, so we can, it's actually morning here, but for the other two on the video, they're dealing with the evening. They've had their day already, so yeah. We've got Lars in the chat, and Lars is in the green room. He'll be on in a bit if you want to hear his take on the ever-changing landscape and news of AI. But Lars says, never used anything Moog. Their synths are awesome. It sounds like these pedals are really cool. I mean, this is Warm Audio's replica of it, but the pedals are very sought after. So yeah, might be worth looking into. But yeah, the synths are awesome. The what is it? The Model D, there's an app from Moog on iOS. Yeah. That thing is awesome. Yeah. I think it's a couple bucks. So if you want to get something Moog that's not going to, you know, empty the wallet, that's a fun one to grab.
For my money, the Model 15 on iOS is better.
Okay. Is that Moog as well then?
Yeah. I like that one better. It's crazy sounds on that.
I'm going to look into that. That's Model 15, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an upright cabinet one.
Okay.
That's what you need.
I'm gonna look into that because that sounds intriguing.
I hear that. At the risk of going on a slight tangent, there's a new online shop that's come over here called Temu, right? Which is a bit like Alibaba, AliExpress, that kind of thing. But looking on it,
yeah,
it keeps throwing me out. Oh, is it here? Okay, right. I've seen a lot of remodels or clones of, say, like Tascam mixes and cassette decks and things like this. And how far do we go with Behringer? Like, if Behringer are making clones and now we've got Warm Audio making clones, how far do we go with clones? Because these are dirt cheap. I mean, at what point do we go, they're acceptable and they're not acceptable?
I don't know. I think that's for every person to deem on their own, make their own moral line.
Maybe people's lawyers as well.
Yeah, that too. What's the copyright things and stuff like that? That's a good point, Ian. Like, that is really,
a lot of those things are almost in public domain. They've been around so long, aren't they? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm ambivalent, quite strongly ambivalent about the whole thing, you know, and maybe there isn't an answer to the affirmative or negative, and it's kind of a bit of both, really. It's a good thing. It's a bad thing as well, but it's a good thing.
But also, yeah, I suppose it's both, because like you want to see cost effective, and there's demand for these types of things. So first of all, if the company that makes them isn't offering a new version, but B, a low end entry point version, I mean, in that regard, it's nice to see for someone with low budget or something that wants that type of sound. On the other hand, I think it can stifle or stymie new products, right? Because they're chasing these classics rather than necessarily pushing it. But it's supply and demand. If that's what people want, then I suppose that's what it is. So I guess I'm just echoing and trying to expand on what you're saying, Jan. Like, it's like, it is a good thing, but it's a bad thing. But it's a good thing. It's about, yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, could argue that somebody wants the cheap version is not in the market for the boutique, you know, full price, you know, collector's item, you know, and they never would buy it. So, you know, that it's not competition. But at the same time, you know, there's always going to be an intellectual property argument, and, you know,
yeah,
make your own product.
All right. Well, while Curtis brought us on this tangent, he needs to just stop scrolling Temu for a minute. Hold on there, Curtis. Let me finish these comments. Stop scrolling Temu while we work, okay? let's see. So Smiley Air says, I spent a few hours sampling sounds I've made on Phaseplant, then run them through. Is that Synplant 2 for library sound banks? Yeah. You're always talking about that in the Discord. I got to check those out. And I don't mean that you're always talking about it in a bad way. I just mean it always reminds me I need to check those out. And I just, there's no time at the moment, but I really want to. That does sound really cool. Abby says, Moog's Moger Foger plugins are great. You can wire their CV ports together. Very cool. And seem to show up on sale regularly. Really cool. A lot of the chat is coming from members over on our Discord. And we were actually having a talk. Abby and Curtis inspired this. They were talking about song lengths and things like that. And just like what you normally write, the length, like the duration that you normally write songs in and things like that. And it got me thinking, because I always write, like, I just, my songs always seem to be in 2 to 4 minutes. I can like never get it to be longer. I try to stretch it and then I just cut, because I'm just thinking pacing and all that stuff. And we were talking different ways we do it. And we got this idea that we're going to do an over under 5 challenge. So that the threshold is 5 minutes. If you typically work over 5 minute songs, the goal is to try to write something under 5 minutes or exactly at 5 minutes. And if you're like me and you typically write shorter songs, the goal is to try to make something longer. And there's no rules necessarily, but I'm not talking just taking a single loop or just Paul stretching one thing and making it 10 minutes. I mean, taking the way you normally make your songs, the song structures you're used to, and trying to figure out ways to take those into a different format. So extend it to 10 minutes or take it to, you know, 4 minutes or something like that. And so we've got a couple of people in the Discord that already said they want to do the over or under. So I said I'd flesh it out a little bit. So I wanted to announce it on here for those either listening on Apple, Spotify, or any of the podcasts. First of all, if you want to help the show, give it a rating. It helps a ton. But you can head over to the Discord. The link is in the show notes. And on YouTube, the link should be in the description right now. If not, I'll put it in after. But head over there. It's anyone can join. And yeah, we're going to do this. So Curtis and I fleshed it out a little bit 3 weeks from now. So March, I think I wrote it, March 27th. Mm-hmm. Just by then, share it in the Works in Progress channel on the Discord. And we'll give it a listen. We'll do so. We have to figure out the end result. But the goal really here is to just kind of work. It's to just kind of not work, but to get outside of our comfort zone and to just have a challenge to do something. Yes, Curtis.
Seeing as it's a Discord server challenge, shouldn't it go into contests and collabs?
Not yet, because it started in Works in Progress, so it should stay in Works in Progress. At the end, we can throw it in contests and collabs, yes. But for now, it's okay. A Works in Progress goal, so it doesn't have to be a finished song by March 27th. The idea is just get something. That's it.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be done if you just have something. That's all. Because I know we all have busy lives, right? You know, so just by March 27th, get something. If you feel like it's done, yeah. This isn't exactly a contest at the moment. So it's just kind of something. Yeah. Ross says administration. we're just, this is all. So, okay. I didn't talk about this with Curtis when I just brought it up. It was very yesterday, just stream of conscience on the Discord as we talked. So, we both got on super late before the episode today, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it. So we're talking about it with you all live, but there's no finalized thing yet. We're still working on that. That's why it's in 3 weeks.
It's always aware. What's the right channel on Discord? Question, yeah. Though, isn't it?
Which yeah, one? It is. It is. There's always things with that. If you put it in a Discord thing, I can always move it. So don't worry. Or Curtis.
Yeah, we don't generally kick and ban for putting something.
Yeah, you're not going to be. If you put it in the ADSN section, that's fine too. It's all related to Audionautics. So any channel will work. So yeah. It's all good. And it looks like Lars is not a fan of Temu. Just wanted to bring that up. But just because I saw not Temu. Yeah. But anyways, if you want to join, there's really not any rule, just make a song longer or over, but just in the Works in Progress section, type in, if you want to join, just let me know, let Curtis know whether you want to do over or under, just so we know who's joining. Yeah. We've got
a bit the opposite of what you normally would do.
Yeah, it's got to be the opposite of what you normally do. That's right, Eon Lake. So if you normally do long songs, the goal is shorter.
Is it, what's the phrase? Is it correlation as well? Like, for example, my longest track is 20 minutes. Do I have to make the shortest track like?
It's got to be 20 seconds. Yeah. No. Yeah. The again, it's all in the name. Over or under five. If you choose over five, it can be anything over five. If you want to do a 10-hour song, I mean, I might only listen to 5 minutes of it, but you're welcome to do it. If you choose under and you want to do a 2-second song, I don't care. Well, it's not really a rule. The goal, like I'm saying here, is though, just what I'm trying to get here is just try to do your normal workflow, but change it. Figure out how you can tweak it to get that. Because I was saying I struggle with making over five, and Curtis was saying all of his ways of working typically just naturally go long. So it's seeing that and try to find ways that you can shorten it, just to work outside the box, get out of your comfort zone. That's the goal here.
I like it.
Yeah. Good. So we don't have tension. See, Ross will be pleased.
I like it. We've got to the stage where we are basically planning out our show and our weekly meetings on air. I think that's what you call efficiency of time. I love it. It sounds like a fun thing. I'm going to start throwing some things together. We'll make it work. So 27th of March is the deadline.
Yeah, and well, again, this is, I don't want to use the term half-baked, but I do. This was very stream of conscious. We'll flesh out a little more, figure out some stuff, but just have a song by the 27th. And if you want to join, just comment in the Works in Progress channel whether you're going to do over or under.
Yeah. And if you're not a member of the Discord, join.
Yeah.
And do it.
Links below, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll put a link in the chat while you guys continue your talking.
Yeah, all right. Let's see. We've got a couple of comments. Smiling Air says, if you gravitate too long, then five isn't short enough. Three will make them sweat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can always put a bigger restriction on yourself. I'd agree with that. So if I was doing a shorter than five, I'd make it more like a 3, 3.5.
Yeah.
Pop song length for the excessive maximalist producer who doesn't do anything under 6 minutes.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I just went with five because rule of fives, right? You know, whatever. Okay. Just like it's nice to have that nice number. And it's not too long, not too short. I never even hit five with my song. I think one or two songs have been 5 minutes.
And if, yeah, I mean, if you don't, if you rarely go up to 4 minutes, then, you know, pushing 10 on an epic work, you know, could be a real challenge.
I'm shooting for a 10-minute shoegaze track with the Drop A Jazz Master. That's my hope, but I don't know if that's going to happen. That might be ambitious, but that's what I'm going for.
10 full minutes of shoegaze damage.
Yeah. Just wrecked ears. Just like just a gazillion distortion plugins and some distortion pedals and just go for it. Oh, there we go. Yeah, Lars says make a 31-second song in the style of Napalm Death. Yeah, you'll need some blast beats for that, right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Curtis, anything or Eon Lake, anything you want to add before we move on to our next topic?
Yeah, I think that's done. Be fun.
Man, okay. So, Curtis, I'm assuming you're going under five.
Yeah. I'm going under five, obviously. I've got a couple of tracks under five, but I like my long tracks, so this would be fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and Abby, your discussion about that was the impetus or the thought behind this. I was like, oh yeah, because I always write under. And I was asking you guys on the Discord, like, what is the way you work to get these longer songs? Because I just can't seem to do it. So it was good to see. Yeah, here we go. We'll add an extra one for Curtis. Your challenge is to only use one bass. There you go. Right. And Eon, like, are you in it for a short or long? Over or under?
For me, it would have to be short.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
I'm thinking 3.5 minutes short.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. Okay.
Slightly under five.
Okay. Only one bass sound. That's cruel.
You don't have to do that. But if you want to do that self-imposed additional challenge, go for it.
Yeah, I mean,
I see Lars in the green room with the biggest smile. He's like, just one bass. I got him.
It's fine. We'll make it work. It'll be great. So, yeah, wonderful. Check it out. Go to the Discord. What do you do? Do you don't subscribe to a Discord server. What do you do? You join. You join. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
There
for
you
that.
Go.
Join the Discord server. Come in. Lovely chats all around. And challenges keep going through. So it's going to be a lot of fun in that regard. So yeah. Wicked. Yeah. Okay. Let us move to a thing which is slightly less fun, but this is more of a PSA. I think it's worth, you brought this to the table, Sunwarper, the notion of what's happening on Reddit and user content and AI data mining. I think it's something worth bringing in. So if I've shared the link, I'll bring this up. Let's have a look. I ho, as they say. Carry on. Tell us all about this. What's going down?
Sorry, I had to cough there. So Reddit announced that for, I think it's $60 million a year, they're going to be selling, I believe it's user content, so generated content, things like that, for AI training. And, I mean, this is just weird in general, but it's another step down this privacy rabbit hole, especially with AI and things like that. So AI companies seem to be moving away from unauthorized web scraping. So they're negotiating deals like the $60 million with this one to use website content for model training. The deal is sparking a lot of controversy because it involves user-generated content. So it's raising concerns about consent and user satisfaction, despite it is, I guess, legal under the terms of Reddit. And probably a lot of these websites, if you read the terms of service, a lot of this is things like that. Reddit's had recent controversies as well. Aside from the AI deal, there was criticism for restricting API access. There were protests. I think a lot of subreddits closed down, at least temporarily, in protest of this. But this AI deal and the API restrictions are part of Reddit's strategy to try and maximize revenue and value as they prepare for an IPO. So there's a lot there, but I wanted to bring this to the table more to discuss it as musicians, because I also saw that I think Tumblr and WordPress announced that they'll be doing this as well, and it's probably going to happen with other things. So I just wanted to get all of your opinions in chat. Feel free to chime in. We talked about it a little bit on the Discord already. Oh, I got to bring Lars in as well in a second because I know he's got it. But let's just set this up first. Lars, sorry about that. Trying to do too much at once. Lars already, though, the chat. I hate it. I mean, I think most of us, if not all of us, will probably echo that sentiment. I really want to talk about this from a musician's standpoint, though. But Eon Lake and Curtis, but we'll start with Eon Lake. I want to hear from you first. General thoughts on this, and then in terms of being a musician. The reason I bring this up, politely, you know, maybe downgrade it so we don't get explicit rating. But the reason I bring this about musicians is a lot of musicians use sites like Reddit. I guess musicians still use Tumblr. I don't know. But WordPress is a lot of us for websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're posting their music and things like that. I don't know technically if that falls under, you know, user-generated content. I guess it would or whatever, but where is the line, like what's going to get scraped in terms of modeling and things like that? But artwork, if you're posting your artwork, is that going to get scraped by the models for making art? You know, the music you post, is that going to get taken in some form or another? So that's why I wanted to bring it to the table, but in general as well, I mean, you know, share your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to dive in with a knee-jerk one and just why do we need to train AI? What are we training it for? Is there even a reason? I don't know. I'm sure there's an evil corporate reason, something horrible they're going to do with this AI once it's been trained. I don't know. Do you actually get to opt out of any of this stuff, though? I mean,
I think WordPress, I don't want to confirm. I saw something saying for WordPress, you have to go in and opt out. I'm not going to say for sure that. I thought I saw something saying that, but the other ones I don't know about. But I think I saw that WordPress, you have to go into your settings or something like that and opt out. I've never used WordPress. I use Wix for my website, but.
I mean, I think, do you get a choice, even at a very base level of it, about whether or not this stuff's going to happen? I mean, we've been seeing applications on phones for years, and, you know, what would all the members of your family look like, you know, as Vikings or with handlebar moustaches and so on? They're clearly training face recognition software, you know, on the basis of, oh, isn't this novel? And now it's spreading over into this sort of thing. And I think if you didn't agree with it, and you wanted no part of it, I mean, what would you have to do? Leave the planet? I think so, really. I mean, the weight of inevitability behind it seems to be very strong. But at the same time, if you look at the chat and some of the comments that Ross is making, it also makes me think that, there's no limit to the amount of problems we want to create for ourselves either, is there? You know, of legal issues of what constitutes an AI, what's acceptable, what isn't. It's just, it's a real Pandora's box. I think this is going to keep on giving for years to come. This is, I think, still very much the thin end of the wedge, but you can see the thick end coming at quite a speed as well. And with that dystopian outpouring, we'll move on to someone else who's hopefully a little more positive.
Curtis, yeah, let's see.
Yeah, because I love my data being taken from me. I think it's a tough one because obviously data and privacy is massive, because the notion of your own private data being used and utilized for nefarious reasons by some external entity is obviously troubling. Obviously, and I think that's why we're having this discussion. And I think it's great that we're having this discussion, because if we weren't having this discussion, then we'd already have a problem on our hands.
Is that like Schrodinger's cat or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Schrodinger's problem.
Yeah, AI. Yeah.
It's not there until you look at it.
There is still a part of me that is very excited and optimistic about AI and AGI and what it can do for us and what it can create for us. And I'm trying to look at it from out beyond my own myopic existence, where I know that I've probably got about 60, 70 years left, if I'm lucky, maybe closer to 50. I don't know. My point is, 100, 200 years down the line, when AI is actually helping the united world in which we live and isn't just a fancy autocorrect, for example, and fill in the gaps and have a conversation, when it's actually doing stuff that we at this point in time can't even comprehend, it will have been built on the basis that it knows that I share pictures of Steve 4 times a week, for example, or that I am in subreddits about music production. And on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, that sucks because my private data is being taken. But also I'm like, all right, that means I get ads for Temu as opposed to like clothing or something like that, or something along those lines. And I'm like, I don't know. I it's not got any of my personal, my real information, my private information, things that no one on this, that anything that's important for me, for example, is in my journal, which is offline. Anything that I put on the internet, I'm kind of signing up to the notion of it's gonna be taken. And that's okay, because I don't put anything, I don't have anything to hide. I'm not scared of anything. I'm just there. So yeah, it's a tough one for me. I can't
really, the internet, because you're not trying to keep it private, right? But the stuff that you do want to keep private, you keep well away from the internet.
It's like I use Remarkable, for example. I don't have, I use Remarkable, but so which is an electronic device, and in theory can be synced to my Google Drive, for example, so I can download all my journal pages. But I specifically don't, because that's like my personal stuff, you know. And I don't know, I've always gone in with that notion, and anything that's online is a mask for me anyway. I don't know. Yeah, I obviously worry about what can happen with information, and I don't think I'd ever put like my kids on Facebook or on anything like that, for example. I don't think I'd ever do that. But I'm in my own little thing. I'm okay. I've got nothing to hide. And if it means that AI will help my grandkids, for example, and my great grandkids, and it will do better, go ahead.
My concern is that, you know, we come up with clever things like this, and while it could do an amazing job in the sphere of science or medicine or something like that, you know, what do we use it for? We use it to make a photograph of a chimpanzee sing Moon River or something. You know what I mean? It's isn't it great? We could do this. No, it isn't. At least think before you do these things.
Yeah, definitely. I have quite a lot of thoughts on this, so I'm gonna I'm going to try to not sound like the ravings of a madman and formulate my thoughts on this, or at least try to be coherent as best as I can. But I think the first thing I want to start with is something we talked about on the Discord briefly, but this isn't new, user data being taken and sold. All social media has been doing that. And this is not a defense of it. Let me just start with this. We're going to go and I'll expand on it, but this isn't new, right? Facebook, if you do Facebook ads as a musician, all those demographic settings you're choosing where, oh, people that like Boards of Canada or like the band Thrice or like Tycho or this and that, that's user data from people who hit the like button on Tycho or on Boards of Canada or on that. That's partly, I mean, that's not exactly necessarily like being sold, but in one sense, like your information is being given to the musician that's trying to create this ad in the sense that is anonymous to a degree, but they're choosing as people that like this. So your choices on the internet have already been logged by Facebook or whatever and are being given and offered to like, hey, you can set this or location, all that type of stuff. You choose those when you're making an ad on Facebook and it's using that data. I think my issue with what's happening here, and it's similar to what Ross brought up, we don't know everything that's being sold, right? And all that. And that's where this is getting weird, because now what is it that the AI is going to receive that it's modeling? And is it your creations? You know, if you have the copyright on something, but you post it on Reddit or something, will that be taken by the AI and used when it makes images or something like that? It's just a very strange Wild West type of thing here. Like you said, Ian, like we are in the early days of all of this, and we haven't seen laws really come up yet that have done things and what laws can be brought up and all this type of stuff. It's very early days for this, but I think it's good to just know that this is happening, know what's going on, and know kind of where you're at. Consider things before you post stuff and things like that. It's very strange. That's the big thing that I wanted to bring up. Just kind of this, like, there's always been this within the internet, the data is being sold and things like that. And now it's this next step, I feel like, down the rabbit hole of like privacy issues in the internet. Because what, you know, will we have to be, do we need to consent for the AI modeling? How come we don't get that option? It's just like, oh yeah, because of terms of service that never mentioned this, like now, because of this loophole we had in there or whatever, we can sell your data without your consent or whatever. It's just very strange. So I don't know, that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up, less so much as like know this as a musician, but more just PSA, like this is happening and it's probably going to keep happening with other websites and things like that until we see, you know, regulations or things like that. It's a very strange time. So Curtis, anything you want to add before I read some comments?
I have something, but I also want to hear the comments and I want to hear what Lars has to say. So
we'll bring Lars in a second. I just wanted to exhaust our part before we bring Lars in, because I know he's got a lot to say. So, and Lars, you do need to try to keep it under the explicit rating for our podcast sake. So just please, just prep mentally before we bring you on. Yeah. Ian like did a great job. We're proud of him. The Discord is for the
full. I didn't say.
Don't say. That's another thing. So Spotify, because it used to be, oh, with YouTube, you know, if you don't say curse words or something in the first 30 seconds, it won't mark it, right? But Spotify is now doing a beta thing where it goes through the full episode and creates captions that move as you watch it, so you'll see it flow. So it's scrolling through everything now. YouTube kind of does that too as well with captions as videos get bigger and things like that. But yeah, so that's why we're trying to be more mindful of it as we try to grow and things like that.
Thanks, Phillip.
Explicit rating can kind of like screw up the algorithm, or they don't even push it. So, you know, if you want to help and you want to hear that type of stuff, the patrons there to help support us where we don't have to deal with these kinds of things. But in the interim, that's why we do this. Let me see where we're at with the chat. Lars says, I've been wrong the whole time. It doesn't end in Terminator. It ends in The Matrix. Spires, we will be tended by our machine shepherds. Spying errors to Curtis, I think this was. You want Star Trek, but we're going to Lawnmower Man. I think I already read Ross.
Second
and Spying errors says this affects with live chat as well, only if I read it or if one of us reads it. So you're welcome to be. I mean, I'm not here to cramp down on your expression. If you want to say something, I just may either bleep out that segment if I read it, or just won't read it. But I don't like doing this. None of us like doing it. We just have to be mindful of the game, how the game's played, and you know, we kind of got to play it so we can grow. So
that second comment from Ross got me. Is it?
Oh, sorry, I missed that one. Thank you, Eon Lake. Yes, when we started this one, correct, Eon Lake? Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Ross. So many comments. It's hard to keep track. When we started sharing pictures on social media, we didn't realize that work can go back 30 years and check up on you. Yeah.
True. I mean, yeah. The implications of this are not going to be known for a long time. Long after this is a done and dusted thing.
Yeah.
Which is what long-term is worrying about the whole thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring this. Like, just kind of start. These things are going to keep going, so it's good that we consider, you know, all this stuff when... Like you said, Curtis, like I posted one photo of Luca as an infant, right? And I'd never post my son again, like, you know, unless when he's older, it says, yep, go ahead. You know, like, nope. So yeah, it's just good to be mindful of these type of things. Lars, to your comment, I don't know. So I'm not going to share the comment. Probably not, but I'm surprised by the words that YouTube and these filter sometimes. So I don't know. All right, Lars, give me a thumbs up. I'm sorry, Eon Lake, is there anything you want to add before we bring Lars in?
No.
Ask Curtis. Okay, he's. Oh, I see that smile. He's ready. Lars, are you good to come on? Give me a thumbs up if so. Yep, he's good. All right. Lars, what's up?
Hey.
Oh, I think you're muted. Just a heads up. Still muted. There we go.
Okay, I'm not muted now.
Maybe welcome you should aboard. Be, though. with what you're about to say. No, I'm kidding.
No. Me and Eon, like, we're behaving ourselves today. We're not saying any of the naughty words.
I'm proud of you. That's what StarStream and the Discord's for, if you know. So
dropping F-bombs and H-bombs and all kinds of bombs.
There you go. But let's get to the matter at hand, though. What are you thinking about this? Because I know you've got a lot of thoughts on this.
It's a great thing.
Where to start?
This is super exciting, right? You're really excited about it. You're amped up. I can tell.
So, on the one hand, if I'm being very positive about all of this, I would say all the data scraping is cool in the fact that it gives us this giant pool of data that we can go back and analyze. We can figure out so many things about, you know, we can find so many like discoveries through sociology, psychology, just how people act and how we really are. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, that all sounds really cool, but they're just going to use all that data to try and make money off of us. That's all they want it for. Exactly.
Yeah.
No one's going to do any good with it.
Yeah, you're not. So, and then, you know, as like a normal person, like not a musician, just a normal person with like kids and stuff, is like Eon was saying, is like Curtis was saying, I would never put my kids on the internet. Like, I don't want any pictures of my kids on the internet, anywhere where they can be publicly found. Because it's like, man, and here's the real dystopian thing. It's like, what if you do put pictures of your kids? And then like years later, you find a picture that looks strangely like your kids that's AI generated.
Well, did you see that thing? Mm-hmm. Some AI company took a family that posts their kid all the time and used AI to make an adult version, and the adult version like talks in the video or something. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. Curtis, it seems like you're familiar, but that was crazy. Yeah, if you care to elaborate, if you watched it, go ahead. Because I just saw it briefly and was like, oh, I need to watch this later, but I didn't get to.
Well, it's just the notion that they took, I think it was a single photo and a sentence, and then they created this entire video of her addressing her parents, which is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. If you think on the face of it, and that shows you just how powerful we are. This is why I don't really understand the Star Trek lawnmower man idea, but we're going further than that. But so it was interesting. I don't want to hog the conversation in that regard. So I'm going to bounce that back to Lars, but I'm just going to say, yeah, it's scary in that regard.
Yeah, it's really terrifying. And I think another part of it that really bothers me is like, you know, everybody kind of thinks like they're special and unique as a human, right? And like the more data they scrape, I know, right? It broke my heart when I found out I wasn't special too.
But yeah, very special, babe.
Oh, yes, I'm very special. Like I have to wear a helmet or floaties when I eat soup. So, you know. No, so I think it bothers a lot of people when it's like you can aggregate all of this data, all this stuff that people are creating, saying, drawing, making, all of that, and you can just put it together into a giant soup and just pick parts of it out and recreate something that feasibly somebody else could have created. Yeah. And I think it bothers a lot of people that it's just like, oh man, am I so basic that a computer can predict everything I do?
Yeah, it's crazy. Let me just bring up what Ross said, because this kind of ties in a little bit to what Lars was mentioning. Ross says, a streamer posted something very interesting. He has given instructions to all his banks and partners that they are never allowed to transfer money from his accounts unless he is physically present. He explained, with thousands of hours of him speaking online, it would be very easy to create AI voice to scam him. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of benefits to AI, and like we use AI for a lot of things, but that there's a very dark side and dystopian path that it can go very easily. I mean, we started seeing with like in deepfakes in movies and stuff, where they're using deepfakes to bring the younger versions of actors and stuff in. I mean, it's crazy where it can go, and like that thing we're saying with they took the photo of that social media influencer's child or whatever and turned it into an adult that's talking and things like that. I mean, you can see that if you're attuned to like AI artifacts and stuff, you can see artifacts and you can see the eyes look kind of dead in the way they're like the things like that in with what happens with AI, but not everyone's going to see that, and you have to really pay attention and even know that stuff. And like I saw, we always talk about the hand. Oh yeah, Lars, you got to show your hands, where you got to make sure it's not Lars 2.0. That squiggly movement might be to make it look more realistic. But I saw Midjourney. Someone posted on the Midjourney subreddit photos of just hands, and the newest version of Midjourney was able to make decent looking hands. The issue is when it starts to make photos of things like more of a person than just the hands, everything starts to get up. But it's catching up to where now the hands can be rendered really well if it's only rendering hands, right? So,
it's man, crazy. Our parents are going to get scammed out of so much money in the near future.
I know, right?
It's a whole new cybercrime frontier.
I think that's what's making me really mad about AI. Is it's like its primary use case right now is just scamming people, like. This is terrible.
But I think it's a really interesting. Well, you've touched on a really interesting notion there. Like you said, this is what makes me really angry about AI, and this is what brings me back to the Rottweiler argument. Like you know that argument that people make. You know, whether Rottweilers, the dog, is a good dog to have as a pet or a bad dog to have as a pet, because some Rottweilers are really lovely and really kind, and some will rip your face off, right? Which is obviously what you don't want around kids. The argument there is the problem is not with the dog, it's with the owner. It's with how the dog is being treated by the owner. If they're living in fear, if they're living with love, that kind of thing, right? The same thing goes with the AI. And forgive me if I accidentally put on my tinfoil hat here. Just bear with me, right? So
let's hear it.
It's sometimes accidental. It happens. But my point is that we're training this AI and we're bringing up this AI and we're teaching it to do everything it should, right? The problem is it's being utilized by corrupt, very human physical people who are then using it for nefarious reasons, right? It's not the AI's fault it's doing that. It's just doing what it's been told. You've got to treat it like a child in that sense. Now, this debate over whether AI is a good thing or a bad thing is the same polarizing kind of notion that we've seen throughout for at least the last 30 years in terms of politics and economics and things like this. It's the right, it's the left, it's the red, it's the green, it's the blue, it's the white, it's the all this stuff, right? It's not really, the argument isn't really whether AI is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. The real question is who's in control of AI? Now, I don't mind an AI knowing all my details and stuff like that. What I've got a problem is Mark Zuckerberg having that, because Mark Zuckerberg is going to do everything he can to make more money because apparently he doesn't have enough. That's for me, that's what the real argument is here.
Right. That's how I feel about it. Is like we could use all of this data for such great things. We could figure out so much stuff about ourselves, but instead we're just going to use it to try and exploit others further. Like I said, the biggest use case right now is scamming people. It's just like, this thing is a scammer's dream.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen some examples of really cool AI usage. I've seen artists using it to create like moving pictures and things like that. Mm-hmm. There will always be people that take something and create really awesome things with it and ingenious and ingenuitive ways to use it. It's just that it can also be used in really bad ways. And the ones who are controlling it will definitely, I mean, for one thing, just they have to make money, right? So they will be using it to do things like that. But
right.
I don't know. It's interesting. One thing I wanted to bring up, I mean, one thing I would feel a little better about this type of thing is if you were able to consent to the usage. And that's what we're seeing. The reason it sounds like they're making the shift in the first place is there's a lot of valid complaints that AI is scraping illegally photos, art, things like that, and using it without the consent of the creator. And so now they're going, oh, okay, well, we'll go to these companies that have terms of service where everything that's posted on it, we can just take. But now the users, mm-hmm. so it's like they're solving one thing by bringing in another controversial aspect. So I think we should see, like, I think WordPress has an opt-out, and I think we should see that from all of these, and I doubt we will unless there's regulation that comes up or something. But that's what I think would make me feel a little bit better about the where we're at currently. I know we can talk all about where this could go and all that type of stuff like we're doing and waxing mm-hmm. philosophically about it, but where we're at currently, what we're seeing is like, well, we could definitely make things a little bit better, you know, and just like, let's have an opt-out here. And then, you know, that solves it. But of course, that affects the bottom line, right? Because that's far, how many people are going to opt out? And then that affects the number of things that it can scroll, and they just are got 60 million for it or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. No,
FCC says, we need to stop calling it AI. It's not intelligent yet. It's just a well-trained monkey. Put things in. See, I have to do the thing. Sorry, FCC. And you get things out. Ross says intelligent prompt. Yeah. Bendu says it's all ethics. Train AI on philosophy first. When someone, boy, everyone's just full of I have to just censor everybody today. When someone wants to use it for evil, it will refuse and report them. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's an interesting point that actually just, you know, training on something useful first, something that will direct all the subsequent training.
I think Smiley Arrows puts a really interesting notion. He's using an extremist notion here, right? But if that philosophy is based on Heidegger, for example, then that entire notion of what it is, that's why it's so difficult, because that entire notion then runs that out of ideas. If it's saying, what is evil at that point? We still haven't got this basic notion of what it is to be. I mean, we have these ideas, but nothing's like set in stone. Nothing's really codified. Everything's wishy-washy when it comes to subjectivity.
What also would, I guess, depend on the model being used, how it was trained, what it's trained for, the all that type of stuff. It's interesting times. I think this is far beyond our heads. I'm glad we've had such a lively discussion about it. Love everybody in the chat. We don't have to end right now. I'm just saying, I mean, I really want to bring this up in terms of, like, you know, thinking about the here and now of it all, though, like, ramifications.
This is to do with music production and so on. I mean, is there a risk that, you know, your music or art might be, you know, regurgitated in some form?
Risk. That is a definite possibility. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might have deliberately avoided doing hardcore skiffle versions of your songs only to find that AI has decided that is exactly what the world needs.
Definitely more hardcore skiffle cutters. That'd be amazing. We need that.
I mean, everything that it's talking about so far seems to be largely text-based, but I mean, you know, people will be thinking, what else can we do? How else can we, you know, because they're using AI not just for text generation so you can cheat on your exams and stuff like that. It's also about generating videos, generating music that they can sell so that we can't sell out. And
not only that, but what about posts of lyrics, posts of like music theory subreddit? People are posting the chord progressions and melodies of songs. It has that information. You could right now ask ChatGPT, write me a song that's modal, does this, ambient style, this and that, and it'll give you a chord progression, melody, drum, you know, like if you're doing drums, all that type of stuff. So if you're putting text information of music in there or something too, it could be scrolling that and incorporating that. So yeah, it's it can, it's like, if not, if this, then what next? Of course, like you're saying, and like, but also just like the text-based nature of it, there's a lot even there of songs being dissected on music theory subreddits and things like that, where interesting times. Let's see. I think that probably wraps up where we're at for that. Curtis, is there anything you want to add as you fiercely type? I don't mean to call you out. I'm just, I don't know if you have something you want to say, or if you're just scrolling Temu for more clones.
No, I was making a comment on the YouTube chat while you were talking, but it turns out I wasn't actually selecting. So I was just typing nothing. So
Don't you hate that? Yeah, just went to the ether. Some AI scrolling your keyboard will have that information now that it can use. It's trained on that. That model is trained on that now.
Exactly. I will say, for a music podcast show, the notion of the amount of politics and ethics and philosophers we just name drop throughout the chat this evening is quite entertaining to me. I love that. I think that really brings me, that brings me happiness inside.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There is a lot to do, and I think AI is always something. It's always a an interesting and difficult and complex debate when we have it. So I welcome it, and so thank you for bringing it to the table. Obviously, more music adjacent in that regard, and that's good. That's great, because it does, as you say, Sunwolf, it kind of moves us in that same place, and it kind of. It does really affect us, how we portray ourselves online and what we're willing to do for, say, our personal feed versus our business feed, for want of a better phrase. Like, it does allow for that. So we are getting on to 10 past 9 CET. So why don't we put this in for now and put this into the Discord for later on? Because there's so much to still talk about in that regard. So again, for the second time this evening, if you're not part of our Discord channel, so I'm going to be a part of our Discord, because it's always fun. It's always nice to see things going down in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll move on to our last bit of news topic today. And it kind of has to do with this. Like, the impetus was from this idea of, you know, things being scrolled without consent and things like that. And we've been talking about websites and why you should have a website and things like that lately. And so today we want to talk a little bit about some tips for growing your art, you know, growing your music outside of social media and websites like Reddit and things like that. So the first thing that I want to talk about is basically just, you know, Linktree or these websites where they aggregate all of your links together. If you have a website, you can just make a page for that on your website. You don't have to use one of these, and you can put everything there. So I think, Curtis, we have my website there quickly. I'm still working on this, because I had this notion, and then, you know, being a father of a newborn, life gets in the way. But I've got a rough template on my website. It's an unlisted page, so I just have it linked on like my Instagram and things like that. Do you have it up there, Curtis? I'm not seeing it on the
coming for you.
There we go. Yeah, so it's still a work in progress, but I have like my biggest thing. That's me, younger with no beard. I got to change the picture. I need some new pictures, man. It's been crazy. But that's what I look like without a beard.
You were so young and so full of life.
That was only, a couple years ago. But yeah, I was getting sleep at that time. But so I have my YouTube front and center, because YouTube is the thing I'm pushing most right now. And that's like where I get the most ad revenue and monetization and things like that. Then I have socials. And then if you keep going down, I think I have all of my streaming and Bandcamp links. If you could just scroll down there, Curtis. There we go. Music streaming. So I just have that. So really, I'm just using my website, a page on my website, as a link tree. That's it. There's a lot of other ones you can use. And like, if you wanted to do a specific one for, what's it called? Like, Eon Lake always recommends Songwhip, when you have a song, that will put all of the links on Apple and things like that, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, all that. You could just make that on your website. You don't have to rely on these. Mm-hmm. This doesn't necessarily have to do with getting away from social media. It's just a good thing to have. You can put it everywhere. If you want to send people to your site where they could then click on your homepage or your music page or something like that, you get them, just get everything on your site because you own your website. That's the thing we're trying to say, because social media is always pulling out the rug on their algorithm, changing things. They might be selling your data to AI models in the near future or something. So the more you can have on your own thing, that's a way to do it. It's just good to have. Curtis, I know you have one, but I wanted to bring this up. Spire says all of the ladies who like my Twitter posts have Linktree. Yeah, there's other sites that they use too, probably, but Linktree is the most common thing for just aggregating all of your links. A lot of musicians use it. It's a good thing to have some sort of link, just place where you have all of your links. If you're on streaming, if you're on anything, YouTube, all that stuff, have it all together right there. That's a good way to go.
Remember, all these platforms, it's their job to sort of keep you on their platform and try to stop you wandering off to other platforms. So, you know, website is your safe space, your neutral place.
Yeah, it's yours. And then, like I was saying, just if you get them there to see the links and stuff, you now have, they might want to check out your homepage or they might want to see other things that are there. So it's all right there on your website. You can have everything. But just in case you want people to go to your socials, or you need to have them go to Bandcamp or Spotify or something like that, it's good to have. Ross asks, do you make reasonable money adding all the Linktree things together? I'm not sure what you're asking, Ross. If you mean putting it on your website instead of Linktree, or if you mean having all these different things there for someone to click on. If you don't mind just adding some extra context there, I'll get back to you. Curtis, what's the one you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about Patreon in that regard, in this realm of bringing everything together and keeping everything a bit more centralized and keeping things on the platform that you are there for. Mm. For example, I know it's obviously not yours, but you could argue there is arguments to suggest that things like your own Wix website and your own WordPress website is technically not yours. We can run with that. We're not going to get into that discussion now, but this is why we like Patreon, for example, because the guy who made Patreon is also an artist and he is looking to push people as much as possible and on the nicest platform as possible. And it's a space where we can post our things, we can post extra pieces of content, we can post links that we want certain people to get, for example, in that regard, and we control it more. And this is, again, this can be seen on YouTube, for example. Sunwolf has got a burgeoning kind of community growing on his YouTube channel, for example, and also Bandcamp. These are like direct, you know, artist to fan interactions, which is kind of where this is going, and this is what is necessary. This is another way of doing it. When you see, personally, me being me, when I see a Linktree, I see the word Linktree dot, and then I just get bored and swipe away because it's just the same. In my humble opinion, it's just this, maybe it's the ADHD kid in me, I don't know, but it's just this notion. Linktree, it's different, right? But if you see sunwalker.com/links or you see patreon.com/audionautic, for example, it's a little bit different. Twigs that. It's like, ooh, that's something different. Okay, that's interesting. We're gonna get on that, you know. And it just, on a face value of getting that click in, is a really good way of doing it. And within that, what you're doing is you're giving yourself the illusion of, well, maybe the illusion of more control over your fan base. You can share directly, and I think that's there are great ways to do that, using things like Patreon, Bandcamp, and things like that, utilizing the messaging software and utilizing the direct communication with your fans, and really squeezing that lemon to as much as you can be. It's really good for it.
Yeah, definitely. And then as we talk about decentralizing from social media and stuff, it's not a bad idea to have a presence on there. And like I'm mentioning with the links, you can drive people to these things, but it's the more you can get them on something you control or you own, the less likely you're going to deal with all the things, like I said, pulling the rug of, oh, like my Instagram reach is gone. When it comes to reels, it's gone to like zero very low. And a lot of people are talking about that. The Reels algorithm has changed drastically. Shorts on YouTube recently had a slight algorithm change, and a lot of people have been complaining that their views on Shorts have gone down a lot. So things are always changing because these algorithms are always evolving, and the content that the algorithm thinks people want or the format that people want will always be changing. So if you have a website, if you're getting people to go to the website, you have your own blog there and things like that, it's a space that you control. Yeah, whether Wix owns it, I mean, yeah, that's a different argument, you know, or if some company owns the thing, but you have the domain, you're controlling like the reach and all that type of stuff. It's best to just have that option. And yeah, in terms of subscribers and Patreon, there's ways. I think Wix offers a subscription model thing, Bandcamp, like Curtis said, Patreon, YouTube, if you have that first tier of the YouTube partner program, which is 500 subscribers, 3,000 watch hours in a year, I believe. It's all ways to have a direct line of communication to people that actually care because they want to invest in you. They want to hear from you. Whereas social media, you're trying to just reach people with hashtags and algorithmic reach and things like that. So it's just something to consider. And then if you want to get outside of the internet really quick, playing shows, open mic nights, anything like that, as well, or going even like NAMM was a huge thing for me, just meeting all these synth companies and other musicians and stuff like that and networking. So it doesn't have to rely on just putting hashtags and hoping to the algorithmic gods that you get hit. And a lot of times when you do get a viral video or something, it doesn't amount to much. It's a lot of views, a lot of likes, but does it convert to much? Not really. So it's just things to consider to get less dependent on algorithms and reach and things like that, and try to find other ways to do it. Lars, do you have anything you want to add or say?
So I think like the social media, like it's funny how many people you see on social media talking about social media strategy, but it's literally the only like strategy I've ever seen that actually gets people to pay attention is literally just do unhinged posting. Just post unhinged things that people want to point and laugh at. Like that gets you the most.
But here's the thing. Does that then convert to when you post about music? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at is, you know, you try to get the reach. So you play the game of, oh, see what people want on TikTok or on this. And then it's like when you then get those people following you and you post that, like your real, I have new music out or something. It doesn't translate to much. And I think, was it James Blake? Somebody just posted a long Twitter thread about, you know, like they had a song that went viral on Twitter. They never even got paid for it. And it was always, people were uploading it as on their video. So it was never tagged as their artist name and things like that. And they're saying it doesn't, it just completely devalued music and things like that. I'll try to find the post and I don't want to put words in someone's mouth or something, but I'll find it and link it. I think it was James Blake, but I don't remember. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, if you chase trends like that, it's not what they're saying, but what to get back to Lars's point, if you're chasing trends, it's not going to necessarily correlate to when you start trying to promote your music or something. And yeah, Eon Lake?
I totally agree with you.
Nothing else to add? No,
I agree with you.
All right.
Thank you, Eon Lake.
You want it? I appreciate that. It's nice to feel accompanied, let's put it. Curtis, what about you? And what about Steve? He seems pretty opinionated today.
He's so anti-ABSA.
Yeah. Yeah. The minute he gets the limelight, he's running away. He's really hungry.
Looking at you going, why are you still doing this?
Yeah, yeah. Where's the point, man?
Why are you bothered? Do you not know it's dinner time? Anyway, yeah, great idea. I think it's definitely the way. There's a comment from Ross, which kind of springboarded me to a kind of idea about this. We all look for ways to generate money. You do many different things without prying too deeply. I wondered if you add all the revenue up, if it makes a real chunk for you. And I think that's what got me thinking about that is whether the we always go on about how little streaming and through like ads and stuff, how much you get paid from that. And that's fine. That's okay. We're not going to debate that. Sorry. It was a bit much. I think what is useful in the decentralization of links and bringing everything together onto a website, for example, is the notion of creating more efficiency within the 12, what's the phrase, the 12 exposures, right? So we always talk about this notion of it takes 7 to 12 exposures before someone is going to listen to your track, which, and then go, that's the start. And then they'll listen to it. Then they might, you know, have a look at when you're name your price tracks. And then they might spend a dollar on a track, for example. And then they might buy a CD. And then they might buy a vinyl. And then they might buy a t-shirt, yada, yada, yada. This notion, I think, from what I took from what some of was talking about this in this regard, is that notion of it improves that efficiency, so to speak, of creating a home and creating a personal brand and creating a stream of information towards you. In this world where social media needs you to be more of an entertainer than you are an artist, for example, where you're pushing trends and pushing audios as opposed to pushing songs, this is a way for people who don't necessarily want to do that to increase their efficiency in reaching the right people and making sure that those people stick around. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. That's a good point. It's a very good point, because I mean, that's kind of the point, is that you're in control of how you want to shape your links. I mean, yeah, you are on Linktree as well, but it's an extra step and things like that. But you can, if you want, like, I want to push the YouTube because that's my big platform at the moment. So that's like what's at the top. But if I have a new album out or something, I might put that at the top. You can curate where you want things to go, and you can rely less on the algorithms and things like that to that degree. And to that point, Ross, it does all add up, and it does become something, especially as you start to grow and if you start learning like SEO and things like that, and depending, it can add up and make a lot. I mean, this whole thing with streaming right now, I think we'll see the changes as it comes with all of these, you know, thresholds for payouts and things like that. So that's going to change things a little bit. But if you're going with Bandcamp, if you're selling music on your thing, if you're, you know, YouTube ads or something like that. And by the way, anybody putting music on YouTube, if you use a distributor that has Content ID, you can monetize those things despite not being on the partner program. So DistroKid, it's extra to do that. But I believe Lander, which Lars uses, I've been looking into it. We've been having on the Patreon thing, we've been having a whole thing with distributors lately. So I've been looking into it. I think Amuse has Content ID. Lander has it if you do the pro one. As of now, their base model has it, but it says it's like limited or expiring soon. Right. The only thing with Content ID that you have to consider, SoundDrop as well has Content ID as part of the dollar per track distribution. But the thing you need to know for Content ID is if you're submitting on SubmitHub or something to YouTube channels, if your song is Content ID'd, it will put a ad that goes to you on their channel. And so if their YouTube partner, they'll get copyright issues with their video. And so you have to just consider all these things. But in the end, like, I had one song, just because of the artwork and things like that, it like kept hitting the search for YouTube for some reason, and it generated, I think, like $50 or something from a couple thousand I mean, I did nothing, I didn't promote it, nothing, but the partner, the Content ID caught it and was just putting ads on it or whatever, you know, like and doing it. So you never know. So I would always, if you have a distributor that does that, I wouldn't pay the like extra amounts that they charge if they're charging it necessarily, yeah. Unless you know this video is going to, you know, or not video, but thing is going to do crazy. But it is good to have. And I think even that Content ID will work with Instagram for like if someone's using your song on it or something. So there are ways to do monetization beyond needing the partners and things like that. So yeah, a little bit tangent from what we're talking about today, but I did just want to bring that up. Look into Content ID for your songs, because if your distributor offers it, because it, unless you want to get on YouTube things and stuff like that, it's good to do. Lars, did you have something you want to add? I thought I heard you go, huh, or something.
No, the Content ID, like, yeah, Lander is still doing it for like, they're including it in the basic plan for right now. Yeah. They said they're going to like stop offering it with the basic plan, but
it's listed with like a thing that says expires soon or something like that. If you go on their plan comparison.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, okay, well, like you get to keep it for the rest of your subscription for the year, or if it stops at like a certain time, or I have no clue, but yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice. It's also, they give you the Content ID for YouTube and TikTok. So apparently if your track gets used on TikTok, you can monetize off that too. But everything I've heard about how TikTok pays out is truly abysmal. Like, they make Spotify look like gods.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard TikTok is pretty bad. I've heard it's pretty bad for payouts and things like that. Curtis, anything you want to add?
No, I think that's cool in that regard. I think I'm glad that you brought it through. I think Smiling Arrows brought it to the Discord originally. Not Smiling Arrows. I forget his name, Levi Cole. But anyway, he brought it to the Discord. So it's glad that you've jumped on it. And you said that you've seen some interesting changes as a result of you putting your links. And it's, I know it's unlisted, but you can see kind of things in the back office, kind of the analytics side of things, which are really interesting as well.
What page someone goes on and things like that, and the duration they're on. Like on my blog, it'll show like one live viewer and here's what they're on, or here's how long typically people spend on a page and things like that. I just want to clarify, because I think Smiling Ears is talking using YouTube for ads. I'm talking, maybe I'm reading it wrong, sorry, because we're live and stuff, but I'm talking about getting ads on your music for when someone plays it on YouTube. So you're not promoting your song, you're getting revenue per click, because content ID will track, oh, this song was used in this video, so we're putting an ad for Curtis. Like, this Curtis song was used in a video, so Curtis gets an ad there, and that money goes to the Curtis's distributor that goes to Curtis or whatever. What I think from what you're saying is that you want to advertise a video you make. Correct me if I'm wrong, but ads on YouTube are pretty powerful, not promotion ads. I don't think promoting ads, like promoting things with YouTube ads, is worth it. I don't think ads in general is really worth it, but YouTube, especially if you're trying to grow your YouTube to get onto partner program to then monetize it, ad views will not count. So yeah, those don't count towards watch time.
That's fair. Well, that's interesting. As far as I'm concerned, that's all I've got to say on that topic. I think that's fairly well worded through. It'd be curious when that goes live, and maybe you should feedback to us when that page goes live and tell us what you think and where that's going with.
Yeah, because Lars says Smiley Air says I was talking about ad revenue for videos posted, but. I guess if you have Content ID enabled and you do videos about a song, it would do that. But like I was saying, I got lucky with a song that the YouTube, when you put a song through a distributor, they generate a YouTube video with just the artwork. And one of those of mine, I think it was Departure Point or Moonmeld, just like kept getting views for a while. I never advertised that YouTube link, nothing. It was just because of the artwork. And I guess like, I don't know, something, or people were searching the name or something like that. But it got like $50 in ad revenue just from the content ID. That was before I was YouTube partner, and YouTube partner wouldn't catch that because that's not a video I posted. So yeah, it worked in that way. So if that's what you're talking about, Smiling Ears, you make a video of the making of, use the song so that it gets hit with the content ID that you have, and then people are watching it. Yeah, that could work. For sure. That pre-partner program. Now, if you go for partner, if you get partner program, you would get much more money by doing ads through you rather than through Content ID. So that's something else to consider.
Okay. So bear with me real quick. So let's say, you know, you're a musician, right? And you put a song out there and you put Content ID on there. What if you make a second channel and it's just like random videos and stuff, but it's got your music playing on there?
It would get hit with Content ID.
But then it's like you own that channel too. And it's like,
oh. Doesn't matter. Anybody posting a video with your song, if the Content ID catches it, like if they haven't pitch shifted it or done something, it will get caught with the Content ID.
I think it's the beginnings of bot farming.
There you go.
Wow.
If you're driving natural traffic, let's say, to that new page, you're not bot farming or anything. You're just using your song in a thing and getting the Content ID. So you're still making content, like actual YouTube content, and putting your song over it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could do the same thing with like TikTok or whatever too. Like just use like your track that got like sent into TikTok and just have like random videos going on, because apparently the thing everybody loves on TikTok is just random stuff.
You could make, yeah, I mean, there's people that on YouTube make completely AI generated videos. They use AI to write the script. They use AI to write or to create the video, like the B-roll, and then they use AI to do the voiceover. So technically, if you wanted to get really nefarious, you could do that and put your song on top of it. And then there you go. Yeah,
I have seen those. And every time I accidentally click on one, because it's always like, you know, on YouTube, you go on, it's just like, ooh, cool. What's this thing about the planet, about this planet here? Oh, look at this star that's so far away, blah, blah. And it's just like, you start playing, it's just like, that is an AI voice.
Yeah, lots of ads. Lots of ads in that regard.
I think as we enter the final segment for the show, we already know what Lars is going to be up to this week.
mulling over something nefarious, I think.
To make it work. Again, another vast and big discussion concerning how we process information online. So yeah, if you want to take this any further, again, for the third time today, I think, head over to our Discord. It's a great place. Really good fun. We are coming to the last segment of the... keep pushing that Discord. Keep pushing it. We have a Discord. You know?
I really hope that you put the Discord in the description. But if not, I will put it in after. Because sometimes when we copy to do the thing, it's not there. So just from the way...
These days it expires every 7 days. But yeah, while you're asking everyone what they're up to, I will add it to the description.
All right, so Lars, are you doing anything besides creating this nefarious AI channel where you're going to content ID your music?
I'm not doing that at all, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if you guys see a big check in your bank account, you're welcome. No, I'm kidding. No, this weekend, actually, yeah, my in-laws are going to be in town, so hopefully I'll get some time to do something. But, you know, probably just... taking mom and dad around town. Yay.
There you go.
No, mom, dad, that's AI. Don't fall for that. It's not there
you
go.
Yeah. Well, you can educate him in that time. That works. You can give him a brief, like, hey, see that ad? That's an AI ad. Eon, like, what are you up to this week?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, because it's
doing it with your stems.
Oh, but I want to know.
Wait a second. That reminds me.
Yeah, I know. I still have to get you the second stem to Curtis, but Eon like was on his first, so he got dibs. Yeah, he got dibs.
Yeah, I mean, I've got three projects on the go at the moment that I'm sort of flipping between and nudging along. That being one of them. So yeah, I will continue nudging, you know, seeing which one's vibing each day and going with the flow. Doing unspeakable things to Sunwarper stems. I mean,
all right.
Wow, that sounds awful.
That sounds strange, but I'm gonna let it ride. We'll see where it goes. I mean, Lars sent me something crazy with the stems I sent him, so I don't know if it could get crazier than that, but we'll see. The song was renamed "Screaming into the Void," so. And Curtis, what about you? What are you up to this week?
It's an audio nautic week this week. There's a lot on the back office. There's I got a load of samples for while I was away in the UK. I'm gonna tidy them up for the Patreon exclusive sample pack, which I'm hoping to get done by the end of the week. Hopefully, if it's Monday or Tuesday next week, I do apologize in advance.
We'll never
FCC.
You.
Will never forgive me. No, it's fine. FCC has got his EP out in less than a week now. So I've got to finish off the promo stuff for that, get that all scheduled and put that away. So FCC stuff. I'll be giving you a call in the next couple of days. What are you saying, Neil?
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, it's been fun. It's a great EP. And yeah, so finishing all that off. What was the other thing I needed to do? Something. There was something else audio nautic related. Something else audio nautic related that we needed to get done. So I'll be doing that. A lot of stuff to do. So yeah, audio nautic week. I'm taking the back seat. I've dusted off my own automated Ableton template. So I'm gonna let that be making some tunes in the background while I'm getting on with audio nautic stuff. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
it's not quite AI, but it is Ableton. We'll see. But yeah, that's me. What about you, Simon? What are you doing, bro?
Well, I did something similar. I did an ambient set, like track with the whole setup, and I used the circuit for generative. It's like, I need a melody, but I don't want to make one. So I just did a programming thing on the circuit and had it do all these randomizations and probabilities and got a nice little melody on top. So that's a video that's out tomorrow on my channel. And then the thing that I'm doing for Audionautic myself and that I wanted to talk about but totally forgot in that last section was looking up mailing lists, because that's another way to get direct, you know, people opt in to get it. They can opt out. You have to put the opt out, of course, but that's another way to avoid algorithms and stuff. It's just a mailing list. So I'm looking into that because I just want to research that for all of us, kind of like look into it, because I keep hearing about mailing lists. I just want to look into it. But yeah, the ambient video's out. And then, I'm trying to just find a little bit of time between all the no sleep and, you know, life things to just like make a song or a loop a day on the setup. And I finally got a keyboard set up with my computer in there so I can do the DAW in there. So I've been doing like piano type tracks and things like that, like really calm, peaceful piano tracks, because Luca loves to fall asleep and like he gets mesmerized by the piano sound. So I try to just like, I'm like just playing. I'm like a performing monkey, you know? It's like, oh, he's crying? Okay, here we go. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, remote sketching and time hacking. Nice one.
Yeah, there we go. So that's what I'm up to. But I know we ran a little long because we started a little late. But Lars, appreciate you coming on. Patrons, you can always hop on the show. We put the patron link in the Discord before the episode. We love having Lars to come on. And it's always good to get your opinion on all this. I knew you'd have some good stuff to say about the AI segment. And I know you have something to say, Curtis. I see your finger up, but I'll just finish my bit and then we'll go to you and we'll wrap it. But we'll be back next week, 11 a.m. Pacific. I think the next star stream is nearing-ish. Oh, is that what you were going to say? Yeah. Okay. The next star stream is coming. I'll let Curtis say that. We do have a playlist. If you want your music on the playlist, send us something in the Discord or DM me or Audionautic. We'll check it out. I have been remiss. I really need to update it. I just have not have time, but I got a list of songs I'm going to update. So I just need to like do it, because I really want to just kind of get all the old tracks and get all these new ones, like a total overhaul. So it is coming, but the songs that are on there now are awesome. A lot of patrons are on there, a lot of really good stuff. So that link should be in the description. If it's not, I will put it in there. And I think Ross asks what style. It's chill electronic stuff. So like the song you hear at the intro of this or the outro, synthwave type stuff, even ambient. I'm going to make a second playlist for the more ambient stuff soon, but at now it's kind of like all just chill electronic music is basically how I describe this one. Curtis, that's all I had to say. Carry on, my friend. Starstream.
Lars trying to get more people into noise. We're getting there slowly. Crocs are cropping, as a Czech would say.
I'll look at, yeah, we can there. Do a noise playlist after I get the ambient one. Let me just update the original one, the original. Then we'll get the ambient. Then we'll get some noise.
let's not run before we can walk.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as we grow, we can have more. More ways we need to grow first. Starstream, we said we'd do a better job of plugging it this month because the last two we've been sort of lackadaisy.
We had a great Starstream though, that last one.
Yeah.
Lots of patrons were in there and we were talking about some really cool stuff. So always love to have a hangout with the patrons.
Yes. It's always fun. So if you want to join in the fun, there's a nice big notice period. 24th Sunday, 24th of March, 11 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. UTC. It's Sunday, 24th of March. We'll all be there. It's gonna be fun. That is 2.5 weeks away. So yeah, we will shout about it next week and the week after. But you know, let's keep it going. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Really quickly before we go, Smiling Ear says, "I hope you didn't want your remix to be chill." No, that's what the originals are for. I'm game for whatever, but it's interesting here. A lot of people are making some pretty hard stuff from it, so it's really cool to see. I got a demo of the person that's working on Lost Coast, and it like starts normal with the guitars, and then there's like crazy drums and bass just come in, and I was like, yes. So it's really cool. I love seeing that. I love hearing just what people do with stem samples, whatever. Like, it's cool. I'm still waiting to hear what Curtis does with it, but you know, we'll get there when we get there.
Okay, it's now in the DAW. It's been cut up into little pieces. It's in session mode.
Everybody's getting violent with these stems, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, he's doing unspeakable things with it or something. You're chopping them. Like, you know, it's getting gnarly.
It's getting good. It's getting fun. So yeah, that's us. So let's know what you've been up to. Guys in the chat, listening back, watching back if you're on Spotify of all places.
Or Apple.
Let us know what you're up to. Or Apple, that's the one. Always curious as to where you guys are at in your journey and what you're doing. Because together, sharing these ideas and where we're at, it's the best way to kind of keep the day rolling, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. With that, I think we will call it. We will see you next week, Wednesday at 11. But if you want to keep the chat going, talk about all kinds of stuff, head to the Discord. I know Curtis added it to the description and it's in the chat. So we'll see you over there. But thanks for watching and we'll see you next week.